She's got a knack for hurting me. Is it the words she says? The only thing that keeps me here are her eyes in the morning. Well, I've packed my things 1,000 times. Oh, and I've faked believe all her lies for the last time. Take it or leave it, cause I'm really leaving. I purchased my ticket to New York first thing in the morning, kissing you good morning and whispering goodbye. Bye-bye.
Take it or leave it. Welcome to Talking Giants, the number two podcast in the Dominican Republic, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. Hope it's a shorter episode. We got an interview with JT Alphabet, who is a trainer with Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram, Aziz Ojulari, Andrew Thomas, and Tay Crowder.
And all Georgia Bulldogs that you just named?
Evan Ingram and Darius Slayton aren't. Ingram, well, you know what, I'm not going to spoil the interview of how they all got together.
Ingram's sister was a Georgia Bulldog. That's why I got confused.
That's true. That is true. All SEC guys, at least that. So we got an interview with him, a short little interview with him at the end of the episode. And before that, we're going to talk about the outside linebacker group. Not like necessarily giving our takes, but just making the case for and against each player and why they should or shouldn't be in that top two outside linebacker rotation. Justin, how are you?
Hey, Bobby Skinner. We keep on getting comments that we spend too much time not talking about the Giants. There was a nice this person probably really enjoys us, but there was a person on our last episode that left a YouTube comment that left the timestamp of when we actually started talking about the Giants. It was about 5 minutes in, so I'm not gonna really express how I am or how I'm doing, because we just need to start talking about the Giants right now. How are you, I guess? Because nobody really cares about that.
Relax, first of all. I'm good. I'm a fan of... all right, we'll talk about some stuff at the end of the podcast.
You're a fan of Dwayne Haskins?
Yes, big time fan. All right, let's
I really did get triggered. I apologize to that person.
Oh yeah.
That left that comment.
Don't get a little triggered.
Because that was really directed at them. So I got it out of the way. I'm good. Let's talk about some edge rushers.
Yeah, let's talk about some edge.
Where are these guys gonna fit?
Let's talk about the edge rushers, and then we can BS after the interview. We are looking for topics instead of just like. We're going to do one more mailbag before training camp starts, either Tuesday or Friday. But I didn't want to do it this week, you know, just because we kind of just got back. So I didn't want to do another mailbag. So I was trying to think of topics. And it's like, okay, let's talk about the outside linebacker group because it is so crowded. But there's really no clear-cut leader in that room. So we'll talk about Lorenzo Carter, Aziz Ojulari, Fede Odenebo, and O'Shane Zimenez of why each one of those guys could... be like, you know, the top producer there, or why they could be the fourth guy out of that group, or, you know, some of them can even, you know, fall to fifth if Ellerson Smith produces well, you know, halfway through the season. So who do you want to talk about first? Do you want to go like the projected one or the projected four?
I want to go projected one.
Who do you think that would be?
Lorenzo Carter. There's only one question on why Lorenzo Carter wouldn't be the projected one.
Yeah, so the torn Achilles tendon is like the big question mark with Lorenzo Carter. Will he come back? But the case for him is he was a full participant in, you know, the rookie, or not rookie camps, the off-season activities, which, you know, there's no really reason to push yourself in those if you're not ready. You know, Saquon wasn't even out on the field with those guys. It's a contract year for Lorenzo Carter. You know, when I was getting ready for this, I was kind of like, oh yeah, man, it's already year four for Lorenzo Carter, Will Hernandez, BJ Hill, RJ McIntosh. It's like, wow, okay, we're getting on some contract years for Dave Gettleman draft picks, and Lorenzo Carter really is in that, and I think he's the guy who could fluctuate the most with a contract. So he's got that going, what he's playing for. Going off of 2020, he looked like a good player. You know, like before he got injured in those five games, like it was like, okay, Lorenzo Carter's a good player. He's not great. He's not blowing you away, but he's making an impact in every single game. You know, he's not costing you. You know, he's a do-it-all type player, which is, you know, which is big for Patrick Graham. We've seen that in the way they, you know, they draft and sign players, where it's like he can set the edge, he can rush the passer. He's not going to blow. He's not going to, you know, blow past people and bend the edge like crazy, but he's going to have some sacks. Had 4 sacks his rookie year, 4.5 his second season. And he can drop back in coverage and be functional at doing that. 6'5", 250, so he's got experience, you know, where Aziz, you know, the guy who probably would be next to compete with him is, you know, is a rookie. So, yeah, he kind of has, like, everything going for him to be the starter and get the most reps besides coming off of the injury.
Yeah, I mean, even before the injury, you know, well, obviously after the injury, he got 0% of the snaps, but before the injury, he was getting, like, 80-90% of the snaps in games. And, you know, at least in years past now, obviously, you know, Patrick Graham, different defensive coordinator, but since the days, you know, we had JPP, Olivier Vernon, and they were getting, you know, 70, 80, 90% of the snaps, and especially the, you know, 2016 year where Spags ran those guys into the ground just because there was no depth. Even with a little bit of depth that the Giants had at the edge rusher spot last year, you know, we were sitting here wondering why Marcus Golden was getting only 30% of the snaps. Well, it's because Lorenzo Carter was getting, he was like the one guy, the outlier, who was getting 90, 80% of the snaps. And that's where, you know, partially, that's why I think that he kind of stood out a little bit more, is because he was on the field. And, you know, when you're out on the field, you're able to stuff the stat sheet a little bit more. But also credit to him that the coaching staff felt like he could be out there, first of all. And then also being productive isn't just, you know, you can't snap your fingers just because you're on the field and be productive in the NFL. He wasn't stuffing the stat sheet in terms of pressures, but just being a complete, like you said, Bobby, a complete and a versatile player. I think he's the best run defender out of all these four guys. I think he is the best athlete. I'm putting a question mark and an asterisk next to the best athlete.
I don't agree
because
with that.
What is he going to look like coming back from
Even
injury
if he
and
didn't
Aziz?
Get hurt, I don't agree with that.
Do you think Aziz is a better athlete?
Yes.
Okay. I say best athlete because just we've seen Lorenzo Carter out on a professional football field. Best in coverage, like I said, he had multiple games of 10 plus snaps dropping back into coverage last year. And he also has, I know we have, you know, the edge room and now the interior linebacker room is a little bit crowded because of Carter Coughlin, but he also has like that interior linebacker versatility as well, where he can't line up as your full-time interior linebacker, but as just putting him there, whether it's against the run or as a guy that can come in and blitz, he can do it, or as a guy that can drop back in coverage. Like that's why I think Patrick Graham, he's going to get the most, and so here we go. I think he's going to get the most snaps, and why it would make sense for Lorenzo Carter to get the most snaps is because he is the most versatile. Patrick Graham can utilize his skill set the most, and he is the most, like, wild card as to you don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, he does everything good enough, where two of these guys on this list, they don't do anything of one aspect of this game, and that's dropping back in the coverage. You know, where Aziz is very well-rounded too, which we'll talk about him in a second. But he does everything where, like you said, he can, you know, play the, you know, that Will linebacker, which he's done at times, like you said, not full-time playing that position, where you can put him there, you could put another edge rusher there. And it's like, you can just do different type of personnel systems with Lorenzo, and you always are guessing as an offense on what is he going to do. Is he going to rush the passer? Is he strictly going to be setting the edge versus the run? You know, is he going to drop back in the coverage? Is he going to stunt? Like, he can do all of those things. But, you know, the torn Achilles tendon, that's like a serious injury too, you know? So, like, do you think he'll play in preseason games coming off that injury?
I have no clue, you know? And, you know, this is where, you know, even if we did the research of looking up, you know, maybe I do want to do this for his PPP. At least give the effort there of like looking up guys that have come off this kind of injury, and then what did they do coming back, and you know, how many games did they play, and how did they look, et cetera, et cetera. Because we're not doctors. I would hope that he wouldn't play in the preseason. That's kind of like my hope, because we kind of know what we're gonna get out of Lorenzo Carter, at least healthy Lorenzo Carter. I kind of would want to see what we can get out of O'Shane, what we can get out of Odenegbo, if he is Odenegbo even like a full time edge rusher, and especially Ellerson Smith.
Carter has a floor that probably nobody else really has. You know, like as a do it all. Like, you know, Odenegbo has a floor, but it's like he just doesn't drop in the coverage at all.
So we know what Carter is in a way. You know, obviously we don't know what he looks like coming off the injury, but we know what he is, and I would rather see some other guys like kind of get out there and, you know, rock and roll and see what they're about.
Next, Azeez Ojulari, Giants second round pick. Just turned 21, 6'3", 249 pounds. He had first round buzz. Now, I was not part of the first round buzz crowd with Azeez, where I felt he was drafted right around where he should have been drafted, you know? And one of those reasons was, you know, look at him versus Stone Forsythe, who was like a sixth round pick by the Seahawks, and he had some issues. But that being said, he just turned 21, had that first round buzz, you know, so a better draft prospect than Lorenzo Carter was. Bends the edge better than anyone. Like, if you're saying, like, just get, you know, dip around that corner and bend the edge. Like, I'm not going to say it automatically has the best pass rush moves. I think O'Shane might still have that. But just bending the edge wise, like, Azeez Ojulari is going to do that better than I think any of these outside linebackers with some pass rush moves. And like Lorenzo Carter, you know, unlike some, you know, O'Shane Zunes, who is a pretty decent pure pass rusher, he's a do-it-all type player. Drops back in the coverage, looks good in it. Plays the run. Now, there's times where he can get pushed off the edge a little bit. You know, Lorenzo Carter, you're not going to see that happen. But he still plays the run, plays it smart. You know, knows how to spill through pulling guards or if he needs to play the outside, to play the outside. Like, he knows how to play that position. And he's just so, so young. Seems to be a guy that's, like, looking to play. And also, another thing in his corner is, one, he's a second round pick, so there's expectations. Give the young guy some playing time when the rest of this group really hasn't set themselves, you know, head and shoulders above anybody, you know? So it's like Azeez Ojulari should be getting playing time just for the sake of, like, you know what? Why not? Why not give a guy who can do it all playing time to go out there and learn instead of, you know, maybe putting someone who's, you know, better right away those more reps? Like, Azeez Ojulari is going to get important reps week one. He may get more reps than Kadarius Toney week one.
I would certainly hope so, because, you know, he does have the tools to already be the best pass rusher on this team. So here are some, you know, the notes that I have. Has the highest ceiling, and hopefully his snap share increases as the weeks go on. So even, you know, we're talking about which edge rusher, you know, in terms of the depth chart, right? Which edge rusher is going to get the most snaps, and what are the snap shares going to look like, you know, especially when the season ends. But I think, we may be looking back when the season ends that Azeez Ojulari, weeks 1 through 8, his snap share looks completely different than weeks 8 through 17. So that's something to, or 18, week 18 weeks, right? So weeks 8 through 18, the second half of the season. So here are some questions that I have, though. And I want to say, honestly, that there are more questions around, you know, a rookie and a guy that we haven't seen on the football field more than the rest of the guys here. Is he too raw? Is he too young? Does he have enough play strength yet? Does he have enough pass rushing moves to be successful right away? Those are like the main questions that I have, especially is he too raw and is he too young? Because, I mean, I can't wrap my head around, you know, I'm 23 years old and I still feel like a child. He's 20 years old, Bobby Skinner.
21
he's
now.
He's 20 years old.
But yeah.
He's 20. Or he's still 21. You know, he just got his freaking license turned the other way.
Yeah, it's... And you look at some all-time pass rushers, and you look at their, like, some of the best pass rushers in the game, you look at their rookie season, it's like, yeah, these guys didn't pop right away. No. You know, like T.J. Watt, who's, like, you know, after Aaron Donald, maybe the best defensive player in the league. You know, he had, like, you know, 7 sacks his rookie year. So
yeah, and also...
Not, like, you know, a top 10 pass rusher. Like, even look at Chase Young, who we all think is going to be really great. Like, he had a good rookie year, but, like, what do you have, like, 6.5, 7 sacks?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I was exactly going to say, is that, you know, the guys that were drafted high, like, you know, think of the Boses of the world, the Garretts of the world, the Chase Youngs. Right. Yeah, but I mean, think of those guys. And I mean, I would say overall, you know, even though Chase Young didn't get the double-digit sacks, I'm also of the belief that you don't need to be a double-digit sack player in the NFL to be a really good pass rusher, you know, because I've talked about this stat on Bleeding Blue. I've talked about it on here. You know, 1985, there were 30 players that got 10-plus sacks in 1985. In 2020, there were 10 players in the NFL that got 10-plus sacks. So, you know, that doesn't mean that there are only 10 good pass rushers in the National Football League. That's nonsense. But so those guys, though, you know, the Boses of the world, the Myles Garretts of the world, the Chase Youngs of the world, they were drafted high, and they started off their careers relatively hot, relatively good, because they had that expectation. They were drafted high for a reason. Even if there was a team that reached on, you know, a Rousseau earlier or a Jalen Phillips earlier, you know, these guys, just as pass-rushing prospects, are not even comparable to the Boses of the world, to the Chase Youngs of the world, or the Myles Garretts of the world. So I am really probably more than I should pumping my brakes on my expectations for Azeez Ojulari, simply because there are other guys on this football team that have way more experience, and Carter's more versatile.
He shouldn't be expected to come out and ball week one. Yeah. But with that being said, he has the highest ceiling of all these guys too.
Oh, correct.
You know,
correct. So,
like, if he's not better than if he's not like a good amount better than what Lorenzo Carter is right now, a year or two in, then it's like a disappointing player.
Yeah, and them taking the Lorenzo Carter approach, which they a lot, you know, Lorenzo Carter came in on a lot of third downs his rookie year, and then they started to kind of bring him along more and more and more. The Lorenzo Carter approach is what I'm expecting with Azeez Ojulari, even though he kind of has like this first rounder tag on him, even though he was taken in the second round. So even though he's a more talented player, we have more expectations for him year one. I'm still expecting the Lorenzo Carter rookie pace that he got.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you, week six, do you think they come out for the first play of the game, two outside linebackers? Do you think he's one of them? You don't have to spend too much time on, because we're doing our Camp Battles episode in a week or so, too, but...
No.
Okay. All right. We'll save our conversation for that for Camp Battles on July 27th. All right. Next on this list, free agent edition, Ifedi Odenigbo, 6'3", 260, 27 years old. Giants signed him on a one-year contract. Here's something. He's got more sacks than anybody. Like, he has more production than any of these guys. He has 10.5 sacks over the last 2 years.
Entered the league in 2018, too, so it's not like he's been here since 2015.
Yeah, last two seasons, he's had 10.5 sacks. Lorenzo Carter was injured, but his first 2 years, he had 8.5. And he, like, has hand in, like, he's the only one with hand, like, real hand in the dirt experience. O'Shane puts his hand in the ground sometimes, and so does Lorenzo. But, like he's comfortable with his hand in the dirt. And again, production does matter with these guys. So if they're like, hey, like, we're trying to get a guy out here who can, you know, get production and play the run, well, Ifedi can do that. Now, I don't think he's the greatest run defender, but when I talk about that, that was more of him like talking, like playing that five tech defensive tackle position, which he can also do, though. Like, he can play, like, you can't pit Lorenzo Carter over a guard. You really can't put his, you know, as, or at least as a hand in the dirt. Like, you could put him in the gaps. But you can't put Azeez Ojulari, like, you know, over a guard and expect him to play the run well.
No.
Lorenzo Carter, you can't do that. O'Shane Zimmer. None of the edge guys. You know, if you go down the list, Ellerson Smith, Ryan Anderson, Cam Brown. He's the only one where, again, we talk about scheme diversity. He can do that where other guys can't. The case against him, though, is he doesn't play in coverage at all. He had like two coverage snaps last year. So he is, you know, defensive 4-3 defensive end and 3-4 outside linebacker are like sometimes the same position. Like if he was asked to play a Marcus Golden role, I wouldn't view much of a change. But outside linebacker, edge, which he practiced with in the OTAs, is a much different role than hand in the ground defensive end. So it's like, you know, Patrick Graham can put in the coverage in the same ways that he put, you know, Dexter Lawrence and BJ Hill in coverage every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like, I think he has, like, the lowest ceiling as far as actually, like, playing the flats and stuff like any of these other guys.
Yeah.
Even Ellison Smith, who hasn't done it, you can see has, like, he looks like a guy who can learn that and get better at that.
He has the athletic traits, you know. Yeah. Here, we'll use that phrase. So I just looked up Odenebo's size because, you know, here we go. Here, it's one of those situations where he wore number 95 and he put his hand on the dirt with Minnesota, so he looks a lot bigger than probably he actually is. And, you know, Mark, so I compared him to Marcus Golden. Both wear the same number, so I said, why not? And, you know, Odenebo's going to that edge outside role, so I figured it's a fine comparison. According to Pro Football Reference, Odenebo's actually 2 pounds less than Marcus Golden. Marcus Golden is... I weigh
when he got on, because he looks a lot bigger.
260 pounds, and then he's listed on Pro Football Reference as 258 pounds. So I thought that there was a major size difference.
It looks like there is. I mean, that could be his combo. Like, he could have gained weight since he got in the league.
Yeah.
Because he looks a lot bigger than Marcus.
No, I mean, I think the Pro Football Reference does a very good job with a lot of things they do, and I don't think that they would take 3 years without updating the players' heights and weights.
But they don't take players' heights and weights. Like, when...
No, I'm saying, but it goes off the websites. That's what they take it off of. So, I mean, yeah, the websites, they could be undersold.
Like, Eli Manning got tested for height and weight his rookie year in the combine, and I don't think the NFL ever took his height and weight since.
No, but I mean, my whole point is that it's not a stretch to compare them size-wise. And my whole thing this whole offseason when talking about Odenebo as an edge rusher and being a little bit confused by it is that, well, he's not an edge rusher. He's an interior defensive lineman. But my point is that if the size is comparable, if Marcus Golden and Odenebo are somewhat of a similar size, then it can make sense. And Golden actually talked about 2019 during a Giants huddle interview that he did. I think he did it with Madelyn Burke or one of the people with the Giants. He talked about how when he was asked to put his hand on the ground the year after James Betcher left in 2018, you know, because 2018 Betcher was with the Giants, that was his first year as defense coordinator, he talked about how going from Betcher standing up, being a stand-up edge rusher, to putting his hand back on the ground was awful because he got so comfortable as a stand-up edge rusher and rushing the passer that way. And I don't know if Odenebo has ever done that in his career. And typically, I think when you talk to a lot of players, I think they prefer to not put their hand in the dirt. So maybe he can get a lot more comfortable. Maybe he can, you know, be more comfortable rushing the passer this year, you know, from that, you know, outside, you know, wider nine technique rather than just, you know, being inside the tackle and going just straight through the tackle. So I do think maybe this could even transition us to to the next guy. I do give Odenebo the slight edge as a productive and good pass rusher over O'Shane Zimenez. And am I crazy for saying that?
No, you're not crazy. I mean, I think it would be it's fair. O'Shane Zimenez, 6'4", 252 pounds, 24 years old, third round pick out of Old Dominion. Once upon a time he was everyone's guy. Torn rotator cuff. So he basically missed the whole season. Not with like a huge injury, you know, like I don't think a torn rotator cuff is as devastating as, you know, Saquon or Lorenzo's injuries, but it's still an injury that he missed the whole year for. Like, remember they tried to bring him back and he just didn't. Apparently he didn't, like, he just wasn't ready and they just shut him down for the season.
Yeah, and then they gave him surgery and, yeah, so 6 months to recover. I tried to briefly look up to see if there's any, like, lingering effects, but, I mean, I'm not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. Let's hope that he's ready to rock and roll. But I mean, it is the shoulder. I mean, you know, Bobby, how often does he kind of do, I know Odenebo does this a lot, but how often does O'Shane do that move where he's kind of sticking a tackle with one arm and he's bar. Extending?
Yeah, he does that a lot. The arm, you know, the arm okay. bar with, you know, he could rips, you know, swim. There's a lot of stuff you could do with that. Here's something going for him, Justin. The year 3 defensive player jump. It's real. Cool. It seems like every year there's like this guy who's a rookie last year, he's going to get so much better. And it's like, slow your roll. Like with Lorenzo Carter, it's like, slow your roll a little bit. It didn't happen.
Gettleman talks about that.
Not BJ Hill. He hasn't got much playing time. O'Shane Zimenez was the very over, like his expectations for last season were very overput, I think. You know, But, you know, he was my giant factor for week one. I remember that because it's like, all right, let's see what you are. You're going to get a lot of reps. How good of a pass rush you are. How have you moved from year one to year two? So that year three player jump is. But if you go back to his rookie year where he played the full season, he had just as many sacks as Lorenzo Carter with 4.5. In fact, he had the second most sacks on the team, and he didn't play a lot either. He had 220 less snaps than Lorenzo Carter, you know, and a lot less than Marcus Golden. He had those 4.5 sacks. So he's a good pure pass rusher. Like, he's got real moves. He can inside counter. He knows how to redirect. So I think he's depending on what Aziz is right away. Like, if you just, okay, let's just take Aziz off the roster. I still think he's the best pure pass rusher on the team, because he has a diverse, you know, toolbox of moves to use where a lot of guys don't have that. Who would you rather have on a third and long, him or, you know, Ifedi? I think I would go O'Shane. So this camp's big for him. Like, don't be surprised if O'Shane shows out this camp and he's like the baller of this camp. He basically missed the whole year, so he's been forgotten. But I haven't forgotten O'Shane. I'm not like full bloom in love with O'Shane, where it's like they need to play this guy more. But I also know that, like, you know, we talked about it after draft. I was like, don't count this guy out quite yet.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before too, and I keep on going back to O'Shane was kind of last on the edge rusher totem pole. I mean, Kyler Fackrell is getting more snaps than O'Shane Zimenez. And Kyler Fackrell isn't anything great. And you know, him and Marcus Golden were kind of... I think Golden got a little bit less snaps than him because O'Shane, his biggest game was 58% of the snaps against San Fran, but that was kind of a big blowout. 41% against Pittsburgh, 29% against Chicago, and then the Rams game he got hurt. So the reason why O'Shane is down on my totem pole out of these four is because the Giants coaching staff showed that they did not have the most confidence in him or in the world in O'Shane last year, especially when you compare him to Kyler Fackrell. I mean, if in my opinion, if you're not beating Kyler Fackrell out in snaps, I mean, it's not that you're doing something wrong, but clearly you ain't doing everything right. But he did have sneaky, you know, it was the sneaky production in 56 pass rush snaps. He had 3 QB hits and 5 pressures, and that's according to Pro Football Reference. The 56 pass rush snaps is from PFF, but I don't take PFF pressures. So... he had a little bit of sneaky production for the opportunities that he was given, and I am kind of getting in this boat of I give a little bit more sympathy to especially defensive players when looking at their box score stuff and looking at their advanced stats. I'm giving a little bit more sympathy to guys that don't get a lot of snaps, and if they are productive, I give them more brownie points because, you know, it's a dance. It really is a dance. You got to get out there and you got to get a feel for your opponent. You got to get a feel for your partner and, you know, how can you beat this guy? How can I beat the guy that's from across from me? And you can't just, you know, snap your fingers and do that from snap one. You kind of have to get your feet wet a little bit. And O'Shane has never been really given the opportunity to get his feet wet against anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I like O'Shane. I don't love him, but I do like him. Doesn't drop.
So
back
do
the
you
coverage.
Rank, do you rank Ifedi over O'Shane? Because they're basically even for me, but I give Ifedi the edge.
They're just
because of
players,
the previous
man.
Production.
They're different players. Like, if you're asking for 3rd and 2, I'm probably putting Ifedi in. 3rd and 7, it's O'Shane, no doubt. So they're just different players, and that's why I think both should make the team.
If you're playing,
but here's the thing going against O'Shane. If they don't want to keep six guys at that outside linebacker spot, they might be like, "All right, O'Shane, we're giving Ellison your spot." Cam Brown plays a ton of special teams. He's second on our team in special teams reps. We got these three guys ahead of you. You're in year three. We didn't draft you. You were drafted for a system where you were basically rushing off the edge every play and not having to have the ability to drop back in the coverage. There's like O'Shane could get cut. I don't want him to get cut. But there's a world where they're like, hey, we would rather give those reps to Ellerson Smith.
Yeah, when we did our very early 53-man roster prediction, I actually initially, before I even started to fully put together the roster, I did leave him off, thinking that I was going to have to leave him off. But I didn't, because obviously, you know, I cut guys like Nate Ebner and, you know, cut other special teams guys. But it would not surprise me. I mean, what are O'Shane's special teams?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is Lorenzo, Aziz, Effetti, I don't see any of those guys getting cut. O'Shane, it could happen.
O'Shane,
if he gets cut for Ryan Anderson, I'll be pissed.
O'Shane basically had 58%, 50%, 65% of the special team snaps. So, I mean, he does play special teams, but he's not a special teamer, you know?
Yeah, so, but that's good, though. If he gets cut for Ryan Anderson, I'll be a little aggravated by that.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we're not even going to talk about Ryan Anderson.
No, he's not ranking on our top four.
Watch him just be like the number one guy, too, just to really just throw it right in our face.
Yeah, why not?
All right, we spent 30 minutes on this. We're like, this won't take very long at all. I was like, are we even going to spend 20 minutes on this? We did it. All right, before we get to the interview, Joe Judge did an interview with the Flying Coach podcast, Sean McVay and Peter Schrager. I'll be honest, I was a little let down. This interview, like the stories that he told for the most part were ones we already heard, like the Nick Saban interview and the Bill Belichick. Those are out there. I've heard those stories. I did think was cool. Ellis Johnson, who was his coach at I forget the name of the college. I should have wrote it down. Like the Patriots wanted to interview with him, but he's like, no, I just took this job with them. You know, I want to be loyal. And then he found out about that. He's like, no, go interview for that. Like, I don't want to stop you. Which did remind me of the Brett Bielema situation. You know, there's a lot of guys on this team that could, you know, possibly go somewhere else and coach, and Joe Judge wouldn't stop them from doing that. So I like that. McVay wanted to talk specifics. Like, if you listen to McVay's podcast with Kyle Shanahan, I mean, they are talking specifics, X's and O's. Judge didn't want to do that. McVay tried to pull it out of him a couple times, where he mentioned the Tampa game, some stuff in the Tampa game.
Well, I mean, McVay and Shanahan, they seem like a couple nerds.
And they're,
and that's not
they're
Joe
friends,
Judge.
Where McVay and Judge didn't know each other previous to this.
Yeah.
But McVay tried to get out of him a little bit. He brought some stuff from the Tampa game. And then he brought
McVay
up the Austin
Shanahan,
Johnson sack.
Yes, he did.
Joe Judge didn't bite. He brought up, which I thought you might think is funny, he brought up, remember after the third quarter of the 49ers game, fourth and short, we did a QB sneak we didn't get, and he mentioned, like, I was probably a little too emotional on that.
Yeah,
and then
he regretted
it. We didn't go
for
it on fourth and one, like, a lot after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he talked about the tempo of the, in terms of some stuff that I, and by the way, McVay and Shanahan probably know each other like the back of their hands.
Yeah, they're
hands,
like, really,
so,
they're like, I mean, they've worked together, they're good friends.
Yeah. Well, they've worked, and then they also face each other twice a year. So there's nothing that they're going to say to each other that they probably don't already know about each other. So it's not like the state secrets have to be kept there. But Judge did talk about, McVay asked him, what's one of the things that, looking back on like your rookie year of coaching and, maybe something that you want to change or improve. And he talked about the tempo of the game, keeping with the tempo of the game. He's like, I'm not really involved in the play calling, but he didn't talk specifically about the tempo of the game. I guess, like, timeouts are included in that. I wanted him to talk about fourth down decision-making with the tempo of the game. He didn't, but I'm going to infer that that is ultimately part of it. He mentioned, this was very brief, and I wrote this down. He mentioned explosive plays as a pattern of the going along the process of how he prepares and how he watches tape. They talked a lot about, like, how you watch tape and what you look for. And one of the things that he said is, how does an opposing offense produce explosive plays? So, I mean, hey, small point, but if you're asking a coach, how do you go about your process? And that's one of the things that he says and it pops in his head. I'd like to believe it. And that's actually a legitimate thing that he does. So,
and those are things like the James Bradbury interception versus Washington. Like, that was a very well-designed defensive play against a common chunk play by an NFL team where it's you're running dagger, where you have the clear out in the slot, you have the 20-yard dig, and then the other route coming under. They showed that they covered it under and made it seem like the dig route was going to be there, but James Bradbury so that was probably something that, Scott Turner, who, I actually like Scott Turner's offense a good amount, who, is looking to get those chunk plays, like, Patrick Graham was probably like, all right, when they get in this formation and this down and distance, they're gonna come to this dagger play. So stuff like that, like I like that's the nerdy. I was hoping for more nerdy stuff like that, even though they didn't bring that up. I did that, but still.
There you
but
go.
I was hoping like I wanted that. I want them to like talk through plays. Like they didn't ask about like, and this is part of like they didn't even ask about like his relationship with Patrick Graham. You know, like Patrick Graham didn't even take an interview with the Jets and like and re-up for the like I would ask about that a little bit. You know, they didn't ask about Garrett at all. Which, you know, I was fine with that. But it,
maybe there was a specific kind of
like,
request.
And Peter Schrager oversold it. And I like Peter Schrager. But he's like, and he's hilarious. I was like, I don't think Joe Judge even tried to be funny in this interview. Like, there was nothing funny about the interview. Unless you really think, like, him calling a whiteboard a grease board, like, that funny.
I mean, I couldn't. So you've heard some other Judge interviews where I guess he was, you know, a little bit more personal or whatnot, and you've already heard these stories. But I can imagine that this is a
the casual
a, many
fan
people
like
that,
these stories. But for like Giants fans, like I didn't learn nothing new.
No, but I mean, I was even gonna say, even for like the most diehard Giants fan, I can imagine that this is the first interview where they have listened to Joe Judge because it's a Sean McVay, you know. Peter Schrager podcast, that it's a big podcast, not just, you know, smaller show that maybe Judge went on. I can imagine that this is like the first time that a lot of fans got to kind of hear these stories, and especially, you know, hearing how Judge went to a D3 school and, you know, then went to Alabama, and some stories about how, you know, Saban and Belichick, you know, challenged him. I even like the one story where it was, you know, they were talking about like his clothes. The coaches were like talking about his clothes, and he was talking about how, you know, you have to basically kind of just take it and laugh with it, so you don't want to, you know, freak out. And, you know, that was a learning moment. Just take the, you know, bullshit, whatever. So, yeah, cool. I thought it was cool. You know, nothing crazy, but I can imagine just it's one of those things, Bobby, you know, and we have this too when if we interview a player, let's just say, you know, and it's not the most exciting. It's more or less just exciting to hear the coach talk kind of like in a personal environment. And, you know, that person talk in the personal environment rather than like, oh, it was a really awesome interview, which I find sometimes that's what you got to do. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, but you know what? That just means when Joe Judge comes on with us, we will have the best Joe Judge interview. Cause like we're going to really pull and tug at all the good stuff.
There you go. Well, speaking of pulling
and they like every interview he goes on now, they try and get this is getting a little, every interview he's been on is like, the Eagles week 17, like they saw that great soundbite he gave, and it's like, all right, every time we talk to him, we're gonna try and get that. Yeah. And he answered that with like a one word answer. He's like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
He's never gonna live that down. That's probably like a regret that he has, low key. Like he should have never said that.
His players loved it, so I think, you know, he gets a little like he gets some crap about that from the national media, but his players love, like I know they love that, and the fans love
that
too.
And
that's really what matters.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, like we love that quote. Like that was big, and you know, all the ESPN big heads were like, this guy, he's too serious. The players love him. Anyways. Interview.
Hey Bobby Skinner.
Oh crap.
I'm gonna read something first.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna read something first. Guess what? DraftKings Sportsbook, it's not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top rated sportsbook. They sent our company, John Boy Media, out for the All-Star game, which is kind of awesome. They had a really, really good time. We love DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate. We didn't get invited. I mean, they had a really good time, so little bit of FOMO, especially Home Run Derby seemed like a blast. We loved using DraftKings Sportsbook. Easy to navigate, plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family, they've been loving using DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you'll love it too. Listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $150 in site credits. That's right, pick either basketball team, and if that team is still in contention, Suns and the Bucks, bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $150 in site credits. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook offers great odds and promotions on basketball and so much more all week long. I meant baseball. Offers on other sports like baseball, so much more all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook, it's safe, secure, reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JohnBoy when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code JohnBoy for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana 1-800-9 with it.
All right, we have JT Alphabet of the Pinnacle Atlanta. He's a trainer. Like I said at the beginning of the pod, trains Evan Engram, Darius Slayton, Andrew Thomas, Aziz Ojulari, and Tay Crowder. I would say take less about, like, he's like, these guys are all going to, like, every one of them is going to be great, and that's what he should do if he's straight, but more just about, like, what they're working on and relationships and stuff like that. So here is JT Alphabet.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa.
All right. We now welcome onto the program. He's a trainer based out of Atlanta, runs the Pinnacle Atlanta, JT Alphabet. JT, one, first of all, thanks for coming on. Two, before we get into it, because obviously we want to talk about, you had like, you know, 25% of the Giants roster down there training with you. what is Pinnacle and how did it start?
Okay, well, Pinnacle, you know, it's been around for like maybe 6 to 7 years. At first, it was just a baseball facility. And once I graduated college, I started interning there and I was training baseball guys. But with my background, I'm a football and track guy. So, you know, we decided to venture out and I think it's going pretty well for us right now.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be. Is it like just pro athletes or – like, you know, we talked with Daniel Jones trainer and it's like, I just throw with overhand throwers and that's it. Like,
Yeah. So we have all ages. Our probably youngest is a 10-year-old kid maybe. But we have all ages from kids, amateurs, high school, college, and pro. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Last year we talked with Keenan Forney, who, you know, was training with Andrew. Mm-hmm. And play in the NFL and stuff. So I always like seeing that it's like the training facilities where it's like, hey, these guys are good enough to be training the pros.
Yeah.
But they're also with the youth and stuff, which is.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is pretty cool to see. So we know, you know, I guess I told you before, we try to not post people's training clips because, you know, every single player has them. But I saw you had Aziz Ojulari, Andrew Thomas, Tay Crowder, the Georgia guys, and then later saw Evan Engram was there. How did you get hooked up with these four New York Giants, or was it one and then the rest came later?
I was training Evan. Evan has been my guy since March 1st. I actually grew up with Evan. We played football against each other, and we just always had a respect for each other. Once he saw that I was training, he gave me a chance, and he liked what I was doing. And so this offseason, we went, you know, head on with it. Now, the other guys, Z's, I was training Z's little brother, who actually is at LSU, BJ Ojulari. And so BJ told Z's about it, and Z's came in, tried it out, and he's been stuck with me since. Then I got Tay Crowder, then Andrew came, and I actually had Slade today. So it's just been growing, yeah.
Okay, so Slayton, I know Slayton's in Georgia too, yeah. That makes sense.
Slay pulled up today.
Well, it seems like they must like you because it's spreading good word of mouth spreading.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's going crazy right now.
Especially those Georgia. I mean, the Giants, they've drafted like five in the last 4 years.
Dog Nation.
What Giant is or what Georgia dog is going to end up on the Giants in 2022? We've already like peaked.
I don't know, man.
You got George Pickens. You got a couple guys that you like in there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see.
So let's get into the players. And we'll start off with Aziz because he is the newest member. He's a rookie, second-round pick who had first-round buzz. What is something that you've – like that he's identified and you guys are working on that it's like, okay, like you need this to go in the end – like in that next level?
Well, Aziz, man, that dude, he shouldn't be that big and, you know, move that well. He's so strong. He's explosive. But the one thing that we're working on right now is just body control, learning how to control his body. Learning how to move through all different planes. So that's something big that we're working on. Once he get that, I think he's going to take off. He's going to be the next one.
Right on. With Andrew, like, So, like, okay, what are you exactly are you working on with these guys? Because, you know, obviously, you know, are you like working on football movement, whether or, you know, preventing injuries or what?
Yeah. So everything is basically learning how to move in different planes, learning how to control their body. We rarely lift heavy weight. We choose to do movements over maxes, basically functional movements over maxes. So anything we do is performance based. Anything we're going to do is something you're going to do on the field. We don't squat heavy. We don't bench heavy. It's just controlling the body, man. And my partner, Coy Flynn, that's the strength coach. He's really creative. And we tend to put the speed and the lift together anytime we program. So first day will be a linear day. The lift is something that's going to be a linear as well. Change of direction will be the next day. It's going to have some change of direction in the lift. Acceleration will be the next day. It's going to be a combo of everything. So anything we do, basically we put it all together. So I think that's why the guys are loving it, you know?
So Andrew, you mentioned, you know, not lifting heavy, which I like. Andrew, he's coming off that ankle injury. Yeah. How does he look? Because last time we got to see him was in the OTAs, and he looked fine, but you know, they weren't working him the full load, and no, was already sure. Like, is he like full on ready to go right now?
That dude is ready. That dude is a freaky athlete. He moves just as well as the other guys. He just weighs way more, but that dude is ready, man. I think year two is going to be a breakout year for him. I know Giants fans are worried about the ankle, but I'm here to tell you, like, he's ready to go. So, yeah.
I was big on, you know, I try to do, like, you know, the scouting stuff. Obviously not a scout, yeah. but you look at the stuff, and I always kind of had Andrew above all those other guys in his class, and, you know, Becton and Wills. Man. His rookie year in New York sucks because it's brutal. Because he, you know, and he admitted, you know, he started out slow, but he, at the end of the year, it's like, okay, like, he's here, he's ready.
Yeah.
Excited to see him build. And like you said, man, like, that's why I liked him the most. It's like just that raw athleticism. Like,
man, if you were falling over the 40 times, like,
look at
man.
His 20-yard shuttle. He had the fastest shuttle in the whole combine.
There's something wrong with you. If you worry about a 40 for a left tackle, there's something wrong with you.
20-yard shuttle is what it is. And I think he had the second fastest out of offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Which he, like you said, he has that athletic ability.
That dude's great.
What about Tay? What is Tay working on? How's he feeling? Obviously came, you know, switched from running back to linebacker.
Yeah.
And then was, you know, the last pick of the draft, and then got thrown in the first 5 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I actually had Tay for like a few days. I think he's up there in New York right now. So he wanted to get a head start before everybody got there. That dude is a worker. Like, he grinds, and that's why I love him. Anything that needs to be done, he's going to get it done. He looks like a running back, but he also looks like a linebacker. So they're going to have trouble dealing with him on this defense this year, man.
I'm excited for him, man. I was pushing for him to get in there and early. And then when he showed, I mean, I think he had like 10 tackles in his first game.
He has a chip on his shoulder. That 255, he has a chip on his shoulder. He embraces it. And I love that he embraces it.
Yeah, I know. I think they even did like a whole, like, his town, they gave him a sign that said Mr. Irrelevant. So yeah, you could definitely tell he's leaning into it. I know he did his camp and stuff in the offseason, so it seems like he is putting in that work. How about Andrew versus Aziz? Obviously, you're not doing full-on battles or nothing. But how are those two together? They were together when Aziz got drafted. Are they, like, chirping at each other about, you know, those one-on-ones in camp?
They talk about it all the time. They talk about the Georgia days, and they talk about it up there right now. Those dudes, man, they're hilarious. They love to compete no matter what we do, and I love it. I have them working out together, so we're competing all day, every day.
Who did you get any inside info on who won the one-on-ones at Georgia, or do both tell you that they won?
Oh, man, I'm going to say it was a tie. I'll say it was a tie.
I've tried my hardest to try and to get, like, just give me 10 practice reps of those two.
I can't give you that.
So, you mentioned, you know, Evan was the first person you talked to.
Yeah.
How is he feeling mentally? Because he had a year where those drop, like, he, like, he full year healthy, which I think was the first time in his career. I know he had 1 year. He only missed one game.
Yep.
But, you know, he had those drops, and he, you know, came out and talked about it. How is he mentally, one, going into a contract year, but in a year where, you know, we talked about New York fans, they are low on him because of those drops. How does he feel mentally going into this year?
Mentally, he's ready, man. He looks ready. I know he's ready. We put in a lot of work since March. He's in the best shape of his life. He's moving well. He's consistently touching 22 miles an hour at 240. We do a speed session. We do our lift session. And after every day, we catch at least 100 balls before we go. And I love that. He's getting the extra eats every day. That's what I like to call it. Catch 100 balls. Then he goes out, trains with his receiver trainer, and that's his day. I mean, he's ready to go, man. So I just hope you guys are ready. This is about to be a show. I think it's going to be a crazy show with him.
Is there anything he's like working? Like, I mean, I think he led the NFL in drops, and like, you see the athletic ability, and there's a reason why, you know, he has that game breaking speed, and just, he makes big plays, but he was inconsistent this past year. Is there any like a different approach he's taking to that? Because I mean, it's really is like the loudest thing right now with him is that, because
I mean, we've done a lot of hand eye work, so that's a lot of stuff. That's the most important thing that we focused on, hand eye, and getting extra eats every day. We catch at least 100 balls before we go, so that hand eye is going to work out great for him, I think.
Does he ever talk about how much Giants fans are annoying with him? Because he made the Pro Bowl, and I felt bad for him, because, you know, I was like, man, he made the Pro Bowl. Like, he didn't choose that, and people were coming out.
I don't really think he focuses on that. He doesn't even, like care about them, to be honest. They love him. If they hate him, they hate him. He's moving on. I mean, it's time to go. You know, it's a big year coming for him.
Yeah, I mean, and he knows if – comes out and does what he's capable of doing this year, it'll turn that quickly. And I mean, we saw with Andrew, people were losing their mind on Andrew, and by week 11 we had him back on, like, okay, here, this is why we drafted him.
Kind of I think those fans are gonna love him this year. I sure think so.
Well, I hope so, man. JT, where can people find, if they, you know, we have listeners, which, by, you know, I'm not meaning to brag, by the way. I'm down here in Florida, and I found, like, you know, a handful of listeners from the exact county. So I know we got some people in Atlanta and probably some young football players. Where can they, like, get in touch with you and Pinnacle?
Okay, so my Instagram is at JT Alphabet. My Twitter is at JT Alphabet _. At the Pinnacle ATL, that's the facility if you want to check it out. But, yeah, that's my social. That's everything you need to know. Just hit me.
JT, thank you for giving us some time of your day. And
so,
hopefully we're talking next offseason about how all these guys came and had a good year.
Hey, man, y'all going to see, man. Trust me. Y'all going to see.
Appreciate it.
All right, bro. Appreciate it.
No holds bad. He took me in the low post and won, but I think we had on the varsity.
Look!
No one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line, and I hate baseball and golf. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/world now. Get Roman. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare a professional will work with you to find your best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com, GetRoman.com/world, and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/world and now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/world. I've read that. I've read that like 20 times. You just get your ED stuff. Get started now to save $15 in the first month of treatment. Bam.
Snacks is going to use it. He let me know.
Danny's using it, and he says it works great. So,
doctors are nice. Non-judgmental.
Non-judgmental. Like, I'll judge you, but those doctors won't.
Bobby will judge you. So don't tell us if you use the promo code.
No, I won't judge you for using that, just on, like, your life in general.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I judge Justin all the time.
He does. He does it on the show.
Anything
else? Hey, Justin,
else?
This is what I don't like about you. Say it on the show. Think of one thing right now.
What? That I judge
think
you
of
on?
One thing you don't, think of one thing you don't like about me right now.
you want like something playful or something serious?
Oh, whatever route you want to go down.
I think you think things should be the way they ought to be and not the way they are in reality. Like, we should get this. And it's like, okay, but we don't. So let's deal with it. And like, I don't think you embrace the struggle as much as me. Like, I kind of enjoy struggling. And you're just like, nah, screw that. Like, I want things.
You don't know me.
I want things to go right. I want things to go right.
Well, I mean, wanting things to go right, I don't think that's a battle. Is that the critique?
It's deeper than that, but we don't have enough time for that. Anything else before we close out the pod?
Kadarius Toney loves us.
Yes, that's true. He's a Talking Giants commenter. He's a
commenter on our Instagram posts. I made a meme of you know, the boyfriend that looks back at, you know, he's holding a girl's hand of the, you know, he has a girlfriend on his right side, but he's looking, woof, and he's looking back.
Yeah, we know
that meme. You know that meme? So I made the meme, and I said, still obsessing over Young Joka's song, and then the girlfriend on the right that's like, how dare you ignore me? And it said, Saquon Barkley's new workout pictures, which, so transition. I love the take that everybody's having. Just because Saquon Barkley is putting out workout pictures and his legs look really good in them, I should say.
Yeah, I'm just not fazed by that anymore. Like, we've seen, like, they've been like that. Like, it was, like, now it's like, okay, that's just Saquon.
But we have those pictures that come out, and it's not even a video. They were pictures. People are therefore forming the take based off of pictures saying, comeback season for Saquon. So I love...
It is a comeback season. He'll be eased back. Which is a fact, by the way, because we were kind of getting a little heat for using that.
Yeah.
I got pretty good authority that they're actually easing him back.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means. I don't think that means he's missing week one, but they are going to ease him back.
Little bit of a Talking Giants report. Never tweet it out. We would never tweet it
out. Of course not. Not tweet. Yeah, you got to listen to, you have to be listening at the 54-minute mark to get this type of information.
Boom.
So that. Should I talk about the whole Dwayne Haskins thing?
No.
Why not?
I don't feel like it. I gotta go record another interview.
We can 2 minutes. People got so mad about that. It was a joke.
That you put a picture of a hole in Dwayne Haskins' smiling face.
Yeah, because I tried to, like, he's missing a tooth because, you know, his wife punched report him. Was he? Yeah.
I would let my wife punch me all the time.
That's funny.
If I had a wife, I'd let her punch me in the face all the time.
Well, if that's what you're into.
Yeah.
Hey. People were just like mad. I don't know. It was like almost like they wanted to be able to like hit women. Like the double standard. It's like, yeah, we know. Like, obviously it's different. And people are like, there's nothing funny about this. It's like, yes, there is. There's stuff is funny. Okay. Like it's okay to make jokes.
You know, it's funny because it's Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, and I felt obligated to do it because of Dwayne Haskins. But at the same time, if that happened to you, I would laugh at you.
Wow.
And I would make the same exact jokes.
Wow. Harsh.
I mean, but it's just like that's what like being funny, trying to be funny, is about. Twitter sucks.
Don't get punched by your wife unless that's your thing.
Yeah, it ain't illegal to dodge. Don't hit back. Now, definitely don't do that. But it ain't illegal to dodge.
Dip, duck, dip, dive, dodge, dip, duck. How's that go?
I don't know. But just don't, like, you know, they made me delete the tweet. I didn't want to. All right, that's a show. We appreciate you guys. We'll be back on Tuesday. Not even sure what we're going to do on Tuesday.
Mailbag.
Like, maybe, but we might have an interview too. There'll be a mailbag sometime next week. We're trying to get a couple interviews, maybe. And then after that is training camp, PPP starts. So we appreciate you guys. We will see you then. Enjoy your weekend. Until then, let's go Big Blue.